Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy once again, chapter 3. And I'm just going to hone in, if you will, on verses 14 through 17 tonight as we talk about our commitment to the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you like to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 14 as Paul is admonishing Timothy, his son in the faith, about his life and his dedication and commitment to the Word of God. And this also speaks to us. I'll read, you can follow along. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Now, we've talked about a lot of things about the Bible, about the Word of God. And let me just tell you something. I really want to encourage you to read after good authors concerning this thing of biblical apologetics. All right? Now, let me promise you, there is much to look at, all right? There's a lot to look at. And there are some that have some slightly odd take on some things, and you need to watch out for those, okay? Because ultimately, you've got to understand, the end goal is to realize the integrity of the Word of God. Okay, that's the end goal. And no matter what argument you make, the bottom line is, at the end of the day, I've got to know, without a shadow of a doubt, that this book is the Word of God. Period. Okay? And so that's what's most important. But let me tell you, there are a lot of wonderful things to read about how our King James Bible came together. About King James himself, okay? Now, don't go off on these other people that say, well, you know, King James was this, and he was evil, and he was this, and he... I'm sure he was all of those things. I'm never going to doubt that. I'm not going to combat that with you. I'm not going to argue that with you. Because he was a heathen king. For all we know, that's what he was. We don't not really know if he was ever born again or not. We don't know. All we know is he's the one that put the word out. He gave the order, and he paid for it. And that's all I care about. That's it. Okay, his personal character, his personal integrity have one thing to do with the perfection of this book. Not at all. And so... I love studying about how the King James Bible was translated. I'm not going to get into it too much because I'll get off track tonight. But the men that translated the Word of God from the other languages to the English language, all right, these guys were awesome. They were some of the most brilliant minds of that day. Okay? These guys, I think at minimum, if I remember it right, at minimum could read, write, and speak five languages or more. Okay? That's amazing. Who can do that today? A very select few people. Okay? But these guys knew these languages. And so when they were translating, and then the way they went about it, they were so careful translating the Word of God that not one person translated something, and not even one group translated something. They had people in groups translating, checking translations, making sure of translations, and then once they were settled, they'd give it to another group to do the same thing. I love the checks and balances that they... Folks, this is a very well-translated book. And before they even started, they made sure they had the very best manuscripts to work from. Today, it seems like any old manuscript will do. This is how, kind of how it seems. It's terrible. But here's to the end of it. The reason why all of this is so important is because it's supposed to strengthen our commitment to this book. It's important to know the history of this book, where it comes from, and if you will, the apologetics of the King James Bible, to be able to give a defense of the faith. Because, by the way, it is by faith that we believe this is the Word of God. Okay, I know there's a lot of evidences out there, but ultimately it comes down to faith. By the way, there are hundreds of evidences of creation, but again, it's by faith. Everybody okay with that? All right? And that's exactly what it is. So, if we are stronger in our faith, that will help strengthen our commitment to this book. So that's what I'm getting at tonight, is I want you to say to yourself, self, what do I need to do to strengthen my commitment to this book? Because here's where I'm getting tonight. Paul says to Timothy, to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, which thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So he says, Timothy, I want you to continue because you know these things are right. So what's it based on? It's based on his confidence, right? In the things that he's learned. And he says in that from a child. So Timothy, since you were a little boy, these scriptures, these holy scriptures, have been known unto you. And they are what was able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He said, Timothy, this is the foundation of your life. These holy scriptures, the Word of God. And then he says to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. Timothy, this will do you good. I was talking to the kids in King's Kids on Sunday. I read out of Proverbs chapter 4, where Solomon says, for I give you good doctrine. You understand there is good doctrine, there is bad doctrine. The word doctrine is just simply teaching. Okay? It's teaching. And by the way, you say, oh, well, yeah, we're Baptists. We have doctrine. Yeah. Okay, great. We have teaching. The public school has teaching. TI has teaching. You know, your culinary school, Sebastian, has teaching. You know, homeschool has teaching. The police academy has teaching. People have teaching. Is it good teaching or bad teaching? Is it true teaching or is it false teaching? You see, there can be both. And may I say to you that we can, without a doubt, say to you that this is good teaching. Good doctrine. And it's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for a purpose that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So, as we talk about these things and just kind of bolster, if you will, your faith in the Word of God. Let me just tell you something. The stronger your faith is that this is the very Word of God, all right, will strengthen your life. Okay? So the more you say, this is God's Word, it'll strengthen what you do in life. Because the more you believe that this is the Word of God, the more you'll read it. And the more you'll say, huh, then I should follow it. Huh. I should love it. Huh. I should live it day after day after day. You know that I am not ashamed
to tell you, well, I kind of am ashamed, but I'm still going to tell you, that I haven't arrived. Do you know that in reality, I probably don't love this book as much as I tell you I love it? You know why? Because I don't live this book like I should all the time. And you know what? In some areas of my life, I'm a pretty big hypocrite. It's true. I'm not proud of that. I'm just being real with you. Did you know that I'm a human being? I am. Now, again, I'm not happy about that statement. I'm actually quite disgusted about that statement. And I can say that over 19 years in the ministry, I have gotten better in many areas of my life. But can I tell you something? At almost age 47, I'm not perfect. I'm still working on these things that Paul said. I'm still working on the correction and the instruction that I can be truly furnished unto all good works. I'm not there yet. But as I grow in my faith that this is the Word of God, my love for it and my living of it should increase. Otherwise, to say something to you, otherwise you really don't believe it's the book. I remember being a freshman in Bible college, and Brother Noyes was one of my instructors. He's a pastor, and he taught personal evangelism class. And he asked us a really basic question: do we believe in soul winning? Well, you say that's a stupid question to ask in Bible college, right? Well, it's not. And of course, we all said what? Of course, right? Yes. So then person by person, he went around and he asked us, when's the last time we gave out the gospel? Uh-oh. That was a pretty sobering thought. Because for some, it had been a very long time. And for some, it had been never. And so he just made the comment, then you really don't believe in soul winning, do you? So that's the premise tonight. How much do you believe that this is the Word of God? Let's get a calendar out or an hourly chart of the day and let's see when the last time we actually read this book. Now, for most of us, I'm going to guess that it's pretty good, okay? All right, that's great. How about the last time you studied this book? How about the last time you shared this book with someone else? All right, you see, we can go down the line. And by the way, listen to me. This is not something that we can just pick and choose because, listen, we know there are principles. We know there are things in this book that we should do and follow, but we don't. And let me just say this. Sometimes there are things in this book that we only follow on Wednesday nights and Sundays. But every other day of the week, we do what we want to do. So, what does that mean for our commitment to this book? You know, I'm for giving God our best. I think on Sundays you should dress your best, be your best, behave your best. Yeah, I'm for all that. But what about Monday? What about Tuesday? What about Wednesday morning and afternoon? What about Thursday and Friday? I mean, let me ask you a question. The more you believe this is God's book,
Doesn't that mean the more hours of the day that you'll live by it? Seems to be the case. Because this is the Word of God. We do believe that this is the Word of God. This is God's written revelation to us. It does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. We believe that. We believe that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God. Right? We read that in 2 Peter. We know it was penned, if you will, by the hand of man. And that in some way that we really don't understand, that he told them what to say, but yet he somehow used their experiences and personalities. And I don't know how it all worked, but somehow it worked. Because that's what we got. And you have 40 different authors. You can see they're those people's persons in the writings. You can. You can see that, you know, David and you can see his things in his life, and you can see Paul and his things in his life, and John and Peter, and you can see how they're all different. But yet it's the same author. And if the Holy Spirit's the one that authored the Word of God, then you understand that this is the Word of God, and He's in us, and His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, so we should kind of be drawn to this book, shouldn't we? If the very giver of the words of this book is in us, there should be a connection there. It should be like magnetism, and we should be like, you know, it should be, you know, because, you know, when magnets, they get together, they stick to each other, you know? I mean, that's how it should be. The stronger, right? Hey, how about this? The stronger that magnetism, the stronger the bond. How many of you have ever tried to pull one of those really powerful magnets off of something? I mean, you almost can't. You know? And that's how it... No, people should... Life, temptations, the world, people, circumstances shouldn't be able to pull you off of this book. Or pull you away from this book. That's how strong your commitment should be to it, because you say, this is God's Word. We believe that the Bible needs no defense other than itself. It's God's book. It's very capable of defending itself. Folks, there is not another book in this world like this book. There's not. And by the way, I don't mind commentaries, other people's thoughts on the Bible. I find them very interesting at times. Sometimes I find them quite laughable. Depends on which one you're reading. But I don't mind that. But you know what? The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Let the Bible speak for itself. It does a great job at it, by the way. And let me ask you a question. Why would we expect anything less from an all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty God who said, this is what I want you to have? You realize that God said, this is the information I want you to have. And guess what? He wanted us to have it in this language and in this format. So guess what? This is what we got. And by the way, how's he doing as far as his batting average is going? You know, is God doing pretty good? Yeah, I think he's 1,000. Thank you, Brother Frankie. He's great. He wins the title, right? He's perfect. So we believe that this is God's word. We believe this is the Christian's weapon. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Did you notice that it says the sword of the Spirit, capital S? You understand that? You know why? Hello? I just told you why. He's the one that gave it to us. And by the way, do you think he knows how to wield it well? Yeah. Oh, let's see, a verse in Hebrews. Doesn't it say something about cutting to the dividing asunder of what? Hello? Yeah. What? The Word of God does. By the way, you know, it's also our tool for service. Hey, you want to dig down deep into someone's soul? Use the Word of God.
You want to fix something that's broken? Get out the right toolbox, the Word of God. That'll fix it. You know, most of the time when I sit in my office or I'm around or I'm with people that are broken, that have problems, you know what I use to fix them? My great intellect and wisdom. Do you know how many people that's fixed? It's probably helped break several of them. No. Principles from the Word of God. That's what fixes broken things. We've got to have a strong commitment to it. Because it is the Word of God. And the more we believe that it is, the more we'll be strengthened and we'll be committed to it and we'll stick to it like a magnet. You understand that the Word of God is for us. It's for you. Do you understand that we have an individual Heavenly Father? God loves you. God saved you. God gave you the privilege of prayer. God gave you the Holy Spirit. God gave you His Word. Let me emphasize this to you. Do you understand that not everywhere on this planet do people have the Word of God? But you got to be born in a free country, in a place, or if you weren't born here, you got to get here to where you could get a Bible anywhere. You can buy them at Dollar Tree for crying out loud. For a buck and a quarter. Think about that. And there are places in our world that have never even seen one. That means God gave this book to you. I didn't have to be born in a Christian home. I didn't have to hear from this book as a child. But God allowed it to be in my life that way. He told Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He says, continue in them. Strengthen yourself in them. They're profitable to you. God's Word has given us the message of God. Do you understand that 2,600 times in the Old Testament, the Bible claims to be the Bible? That's amazing, because there's lots of different authors in the Old Testament. 525 times in the New Testament, the Bible claims to be the Word of God. Things like, thus saith the Lord, right? Please understand, the Bible is the Word of God. And listen, from cover to cover, it is united. It works together. No other book does that. Books contradict each other. Books contradict themselves. All through them. Even a singular author contradicts himself. By the way, this will be a relief to those in my family that would like to hear this. I contradict myself. I make definitive statements and then I go back on them. Nobody else does that. I know they don't do that, right? Things like I don't like sweet and savory, then I say I love these beans. You know, I'm just a contradictory mess. But aren't we all? But this book's not. It's complete. It's perfect. It's united. We've already talked about its witness in archaeology. We've already talked about its witness in history. We've already talked about its witness in prophecy. By the way, every single thing that's been prophesied that has come to pass, if you will, it has been right. So why wouldn't we believe that the things to come are going to be right? It has a 100% accuracy rate right now. And guess what it's going to have when everything's finished? A 100% accuracy rate. And let me tell you one more thing, and then we'll get to the rest of it next week. But I'm going to give some practical things next week. I want you to work on strengthening your faith in the Word of God so that it can strengthen your life. But do you understand that this book has absolutely everything you need in your life? There is not a circumstance, an instance, an event in your life that this book doesn't have the answer to. And I can say that with great confidence. You say, well, Pastor, what about this or what about that? Do you know that the Bible tells us that Christ knows our infirmities? That Jesus Christ has experienced everything that we could possibly experience. It tells us that. God knows what you're going to go through. God has given us things in the Word of God to help us to bear those circumstances. You see, how do you know that? Because God promised that He would not give us anything that we could not bear. And let me just give you a little clue. The reason why you can bear them is because of this book. Let me just ask you a question. How well would you be in life without this? I mean at all. Where would you be today if you never saw one of these? If you never heard anything from this? You know where we all be? Lost. Out in the world. And by the way, what makes us different than all of them out there? This book right here. That's how important it is. That's why it's so important to, if you will, fight these battles. That this old King James Bible is the Word of God in the English language for us. That it's perfect. That it's without error. That it's worth standing upon. That it's worth building our entire life and practice and faith upon it. But that brings us to a point. Alright, we're bold. We're all that, but how much do we actually commit to it?